This is the Adam Gold Show.
Cookie butter does sound good.
Yeah, I want to try this.
It does absolutely sound good. Just spread it on like some brioche toast. That's got to be good. I don't know. Cinnamon raisin bread? It could be. Oh, you wouldn't like it because that's probably just a little different for you, Dennis Cox.
Well, it's raisins and they stink.
Do you like grapes?
Yeah. Not the same thing. I know one comes from the other, but they're not the same.
One is another.
Yeah. Not the same.
All right. This is the Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold. That is Dennis Cox. Welcome to your Tuesday. The college football playoff rankings are coming up tonight. I cannot wait to see how angry people get when nothing has changed from last week. But should be interesting anyway. Go Boo Corrigan, who gets to play on the TV. And I'm going to be, maybe I'll watch or I'll just watch people on Twitter, and I have my handy bingo card. What do you think we'll see here tonight? A lot of football to be played, quality loss. Let's see, balanced team. That's been big this year. The balanced team has been big this year. So, great program is on there too. Before we talk about Josh Allen, isn't there a difference between great program and great team? I mean, I think there is. And it seems to be somebody's missing that. Not just somebody, a lot of people are missing that notion that you can be a great program without necessarily having a great team.
Yeah.
A great program is relative to what your program has been and how long your program has been good. It's like if they were just okay or if they were a good program, then, you know, they'd have a whole bunch of bad records in there. But I don't know. I think what Dave Doran has done has been pretty great without necessarily having any great teams. It's just been very, very, I mean, it's a model program for NC State. And if I were them, I'd try to keep it. But if I were Dave Doran, I would try to leave. All right, let me talk a little bit about Josh Allen here. This is the top of the NFL food chain. 48 hours ago, Josh Allen was Thor, Iron Man, the Green Lantern, and the Wonder Twins all rolled into one.
I got that reference.
Right? Which reference did you get?
All of them.
You got the Wonder Twins?
Yeah.
Were you into the Wonder Twins? Oh, man.
No, I know who the Wonder Twins are.
They always had a bucket of water for no reason. Just a bucket of water. There's a whatever. Anyway, yesterday or 48 hours ago, he hung the moon. And then Josh Allen threw two interceptions late and lost to the Vikings. One of the interceptions was on fourth down, so it is what it is. I mean, there's no sense taking it with you. You might as well throw it and see what happens. Although it was returned 34 yards out of the end zone, so he would have been better off just throwing it in the fake grass. And the other interception ended the game. The bottom line for the Buffalo Bills is that they have problems in close games. Maybe that's a Josh Allen problem. I don't know. But it is interesting that nobody has really noticed this until this week. And now all of a sudden, oh man, Josh has to stop doing this. So it caused this on ESPN today. Here's Dominique Foxworth sort of throwing up his hands at this debate.
Josh Allen made the best leap from one year to another year of any quarterback that we've ever seen in the history of football.
Yeah.
And now y'all asking him to make another one. Stop it. Like Aaron Rodgers, what he was in his prime and what Patrick Mahomes is right now is unique. You think that you're going to make Josh Allen into a guy that gives you these big wild plays without mistakes? You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. So accept that he is outstanding and great and accept that sometimes he's going to give you some boneheaded plays where he's trying to punch out fumbles
that
with his injured elbow. He's going to try to run through people.
Yeah.
He's going to try to throw balls through defenders. It stinks, but you take the good with the bad.
Yeah. Brett Favre never stopped you know, trying to force plays to happen. He never stopped. And maybe that's why Brett Favre only won one Super Bowl. I don't know. He won one. There's no reason why he couldn't have won others. Aaron Rodgers isn't really that quarterback, but he only won one. I think Josh Allen's going to win multiple Super Bowls. I think the Buffalo Bills are still the best team in the NFL. It is, but it, all this point is, because to be honest, I think Dominique is right. Let's have Marcus Spears' response to Dominique here, and then we'll talk about that, because it's interesting.
If we get to a point where the Buffalo Bills don't have an opportunity to go to a Super Bowl or win one, it will probably be because of turnovers. Right. I don't see this defense giving up a bunch of points. I don't see this team just going out and playing terrible. And to your point, Grimes and Foxy, yeah, you're in the red area a lot. Yeah, you have a lot of success. Yeah, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But what would be the reason why we would think the Buffalo Bills wouldn't win a Super Bowl?
Coaching, I think. If you know your quarterback is prone to that, then coach it. Coach it better. You can't just let Josh Allen do that if you're Sean McDermott. But anyway, the point is, Buffalo, believe it or not, didn't lose this game because Josh Allen threw two interceptions. They allowed 23 points from late in the third quarter through the first possession of overtime. They allowed 23 points. Wait, I thought their defense isn't going to give up those points.
Well, one of those touchdowns was because of Josh Allen fumbling the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, but how did
so
the
that's
ball,
not on the defense.
How did the ball get to the two-inch line?
Because the defense made a stop.
No, it went all the way down the field. The defense went all the way down the field.
Yeah, there's that. Okay.
I mean, 4th and 18. They allowed the pass completion. So they put the ball there. And frankly, even if Josh Allen takes the snap, he ain't coming out of the end zone.
Yeah.
Minnesota won the line of scrimmage. It was going to be a safety, which, again, there were people arguing that it should have been that they should have accepted the safety, which, again, I think would have been kind of a dumb move because now you're invited. There's plenty of time left. I mean, Buffalo had enough time to drive down the field and kick the field goal to tie and send it to overtime. So Minnesota would have had easily enough time to drive into field goal range after punting it from the 20 in a two-point game. So it would have been silly to do to accept the safety in that situation. Either way, that's just a little bit of a sidebar. Buffalo's defense allowed the comeback. It started with the 81-yard touchdown run by Dalvin Cook, and then Kirk Cousins to Justin Jefferson happened. That whole show in the second half, they could not cover Justin Jefferson. No chance. There weren't enough defensive backs for the Buffalo Bills. Now, they are injured in the secondary. They've been injured in the secondary all year long, but there were still times where they allowed Jefferson all alone. Like, how does that happen? You can't. That's the one guy. No, somebody get on 18 and you stay with him. Somebody. If he's in your area, he's yours. It should be that simple. But it's not. Football's not that simple a game. But we love to hang everything at the foot of the quarterbacks. And look, I'm not absolving Josh Allen from blame, but they didn't lose the game because of Josh Allen. But people have lost their – we do this every week. Every week in the NFL, we make the next star, the next GOAT. This is what we do. It is awesome. We should do this for every – well, we do this. You've seen Kane's Twitter after a Hurricanes loss. Every game is a referendum.
Oh, yeah. That guy stinks.
Every game is a referendum. My gosh. So, the best teams in the NFL, Buffalo, Philly, Dallas, Kansas City, to me, those are the four best teams. Dallas blew a 14-point lead against a mediocre at best Green Bay team and lost in overtime. Philadelphia got beat by double digits at home to a mediocre to bad team in Washington. And the Bills blew a 27-10 lead at home to Minnesota. It's a good weekend for the NFL. And I'm not saying that facetiously. It was a good weekend for the NFL. Dramatic weekend for the NFL.
Hey, it's Adam Gold, and I'm in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Is it ever too soon to seek out you and your expertise?
Really, there's no too soon. It's time to get serious. So if you're 50 or over, we call it the financial red zone. And that's when really it's time for you to take control of your money and make sure you have a firm on your side that's a fiduciary planning firm, which means they take your side at all times. Now, we'll do this for the next 10 of you who call. This is $1,000 value, but I'm going to waive my planning fee to make sure you get your total retirement plan and you get on the right path for retirement.
Call 888-843-0013, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Around midnight, we shouldn't start games at 9:30. The Duke Blue Devils will take on the Kansas Jayhawks in the second game of the Champions Classic in Indianapolis. Gary Parrish, CBSSports.com, Eye on College Basketball Podcast, the best college basketball podcast there is, joins us on the Adam Gold Show to talk about that and other matters of the college basketball heart. It feels like this is the start of the season. Is that real?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. In fact, I talked to somebody about this yesterday. Like, you know, technically we got started last Monday, but there was really only one marquee matchup in the opening week of the season, and that, of course, was Gonzaga, Michigan State, out on the aircraft carrier off the coast of San Diego. It was a fun event, beautiful to look at, not the prettiest of games because there's some data that suggests shooting a basketball from 22 feet on an aircraft carrier is not the simplest thing in the world to do. So low scoring, poor shooting, but still a fun game. But it really gets started tonight for all intents and purposes, which isn't ideal. We should actually have a better start to the college basketball season. The NBA would never do it this way. The NFL would never do it this way. College football doesn't do it this way. But either way, that boring first week's behind us. And tonight, all eyes will be on the court in Indianapolis, where we got a pretty compelling doubleheader.
Oh, there's no question. Michigan State comes in, in a way, hot. I mean, they've played against quality competition. Very few teams have done that so far. Gary Parrish is joining us here. All right, what intrigues you most about Duke versus Kansas? And let's just leave John Shire out of it for the time being.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what to expect in this game because Kansas, you can usually rely on Kansas being very good regardless of the pieces, but that is with Bill Self, arguably, if not undeniably, the best active coach in college basketball on the sideline. Bill obviously will not be there tonight. He's serving a self-imposed four-game suspension because of Kansas's NCAA trouble. So you've got a big question mark on the Kansas side of things. Plus, you know, outside of a couple of players, that Kansas roster is going to look vastly different than the one anybody remembers playing in the national championship game last April. On the other side, you know, Duke is immensely talented with that number one ranked recruiting class. But, you know, Derek Lively to this point has only played 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Dariq Whitehead has been injured. John Shire is, you know, a first-year head coach. I believe in him long-term, but you know, it's totally reasonable to wonder what that's going to look like early, particularly with a roster so heavily reliant on first-year players. So I tend to have opinions about which way I think games will go. And I guess if you're looking for a pick, I would take Duke, if only because I've got Duke ranked higher than Kansas in my top 25-1. But there are so many unknowns connected to the basketball game. I'm just frankly looking forward to sitting back and watching it unfold, however it unfolds.
Yeah, the way I look at this game is that I don't know how Duke is going to react when a team with similar athletes really get up in them and play defense. I mean, that is going to be the biggest learning curve for them over the course of the season. Is how will they react when teams can be physical with them, where Duke can't just tower over somebody like they have towered over two opponents so far. But, I mean, it may go really well tonight. I remember a year where they, I mean, absolutely blew Kentucky's doors off in one of these games. And then it turns out they were good, but they weren't ever that good again.
Well, I mean, that team was really good, and it just happened to lose a game in the Elite Eight, you know, which happens to great teams all the time. You know, John Calipari's first team at Kentucky had John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe, mm-hmm. Patrick Patterson, did not make the Final Four, lost in the Elite Eight to a West Virginia team. So I remember that Duke-Kentucky game you're talking about, and just a funny aside, just before the game, I mean literally 7 minutes before tip-off, I'm walking from the media room back to my seat and happen to be walking on the baseline of the court, and I don't bump into, but make eye contact with Tony Barbie, who was, you know, on John Calipari's staff for a while, former Auburn coach, and I had known him since, you know, his days as an assistant coach at Memphis mm-hmm. when I was the beat writer. And he, you know, we shook hands, and he was like, he said, what'd you think tonight? Well, I don't even know if he brought it up. I think I said, all right, I picked you guys, so don't let me down. And he goes, you picked us? And I said, yeah. He goes, GP, you should have called me. I think they had seen something in practice that made them think, maybe we'll be good, but we're not ready for this. And then Duke absolutely annihilated them. You know, I would remind you, and I don't have to remind you, Duke did have some better roster balance with that team than this team has. I mean, it was obviously Zion and
yeah.
and RJ and some five-star stud freshman Cam Reddish, but they also had some non-freshmen who mattered. This Duke team is really light on non-freshmen who matter, and that's always a point of concern, or at least typically a point of concern this early in the season.
Yeah, it's there are some transfers in who have some history, but here
sure. –
It's only Jeremy Roach. It's a one person list. It doesn't take very long to get through it. Gary Parrish. All right, real quick to John Shire. I mean, he has to follow a great, you know, the shoes are gigantic at Duke, but is also some pressure just in this area after Hubert Davis's initial season ends up, with just a few points away from a national championship. I'm not sure the second part of that really matters, except maybe to fans here. But what are your thoughts about John Shire in year one?
I don't think it's possible for him to have set himself up for success any better than he did. Recruiting the way he did in the class of 2022, recruiting the way he has in the class of 2023, and yet, this is still a difficult situation that he finds himself in. You know, I don't care. You know, we've seen Mike Krzyzewski and John Calipari both in recent years really struggle with freshman-heavy rosters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that also happened in the pandemic year when they didn't have a normal preseason, didn't have a normal non-league schedule. And I genuinely do think that played a role. Didn't have a normal home court advantage like Rupp Arena and Cameron Indoor normally provide. But I remember talking to a prominent coach who got really young a few years ago, and the team escapes me at this point, but it wasn't Duke or Kentucky. And I remember talking to this guy midseason, and he said, and this is before the pandemic year where Duke and Kentucky both struggled, but he said, man, I'm just telling you, John and Kay made it look easier than it is, winning at a high level with a bunch of first-year players. This is not easy. So we've seen in recent years a Memphis team multiple times with the number one recruiting class in the country struggle with a young head coach. And you know, if you're looking for reasons to be skeptical of what Duke can be early or in this season, broadly speaking, that's one place to point. But, you know, talent is talent. And, you know, I typically give the edge to that. So I'm a believer in John Shire long term. I do think this Duke team is going to be good. It will not surprise me if they have some ups and downs along the way, because teams that are this heavily reliant on new players almost always do.
Gary Parrish, Ion College Basketball Podcast, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. What has the NIL impact been on basketball versus football, do you think?
Well, I just think in basketball, it's much easier to manage because there's, you know, there's fewer players. I mean, you can spend crazy money on three players in basketball and have a national championship contender if that's the way you want to go about it. And so whether it's football or basketball, I think it's a good thing. But I think it's a better thing for basketball because in football, you know, guys can't leave after 1 year. There's nowhere for them to go. You know, Trevor Lawrence showed himself to be an absolute stud
right.
in his first year of college, and he couldn't enter the NFL draft even if he wanted to. Basketball has never, you know, benefited from that reality. By the time we learn who Jahlil Okafor is, he's off to the NBA. By the time we learn who Zion Williamson is, you know, 4 months later, he's off to the NBA. And those level guys are still going to go because, you know, they're lottery picks.
Mm-hmm.
But the Armando Bacots and the Hunter Dickinsons and the Trace Jackson Davises and the Drew Timmies and, you know, college basketball players who are great but aren't obviously great NBA prospects, now they have a place to stay and make a lot of money. You know, typically a guy like Drew Timmy at this point, and maybe even every other guy that I named, would, Oscar Tshiebwe is another great example mm-hmm. of this, would have just said, I've done everything I can do at this level. It's time to go make a paycheck, whatever that looks like. But the truth is Drew Timmy is making more money playing college basketball this season than he could literally make anywhere else in the world playing college basketball. And the same thing is true for Oscar Tshiebwe. And I think the same thing is probably true for Hunter Dickinson, Armando Bacot, Trace Jackson Davis, on down the line. And so what we're already seeing and what we're going to continue to see is people making decisions based on money. I'm going to play basketball next season. Where can I make the most money doing? And in a lot of cases for these guys, it's going to be college basketball. So we get big names coming back to the sport. We get less roster turnover. And that's all a positive. You know, I know it's stressful for coaches and perhaps weird for fan bases who are watching the transfer portal, you know, fill up and guys bounce from one school to the other. But I think if you take all the pros and then whatever cons you think they are and throw them on a list, you got more pros than cons. And this has been a good thing for college athletics.
I agree. And that's the one thing that was never discussed about allowing players to realize their own value in the marketplace was that more likely than not, players would stick around longer, which is better for everyone. And I always looked at a guy like Marcus Page or the guy who followed him at North Carolina. They played together a little bit, Joel Berry, as really, really good, visible college basketball players for a high-profile program that didn't really have NBA futures in front of them. And how much money could they have made? Of course, they were gone. They were done playing before the NIL era. Let me ask you this, Gary Parrish, about Gonzaga. I think you have them as number one over North Carolina. I'll let you deal with Tar Heel fans about that at Gary Parrish CBS. Do they need a better conference to take full advantage of how great their program is, or are they fine right where they are?
I think they're fine right where they are, and, like, all the data suggests that. I mean, they've been to more consecutive Sweet 16s than anybody in the country. They've been a number one seed, I believe, four out of the past six or seven NCAA tournaments. They played in two of the past five national championship games. I mean, to set the bar for national championship or bust, which, frankly, is where the bar is
yeah.
program now, is outrageous. I mean, don't ever forget, this is a small, private, you know, school in Spokane, Washington.
Right.
You know, I was a junior in college at the University of Memphis, I believe, when Gonzaga came in to play the Tigers, and we literally had never even heard of Gonzaga, didn't know what that was. And they came in and blew Memphis out inside the Pyramid, which is now a Bass Pro Shop. And that's the year that I believe the Zags went on to have their first real success in the NCAA tournament. And the rest, as they say, is history. But my point is that this has all happened in my adult life. Now I'm 45 years old. I'm not 25 anymore. But, you know, generally speaking, they have taken this from nothing to one of the biggest brands in the sport, you know, in a matter of a couple of decades. So anybody saying they can't do literally anything in the sport based off of their conference affiliation just isn't paying attention. They have recruited the number one high school player in the country.
Yep.
They have you know, developed lottery picks and top five picks. They've gone to national championship games and been number one in the country and, you know, beaten all the, or at least most of the best programs in the country. The only thing left is winning a national championship. And just because they haven't done it doesn't mean they can't do it. I think some people get those words confused sometimes. They have not done it. That's a fact. But it doesn't mean they can't do it. I would submit that if you replay that Gonzaga North Carolina national championship game 100 times from the 2:15 mark, it goes 50-50 either way. But if you only play it once, and in that once, you know, you get a favorable call for Carolina, Tar Heels get a stop, Gonzaga misses a shot, you know, Roy Williams wins another national title. Congratulations, but that doesn't mean Gonzaga couldn't have won it that night. I guess I'd put it this way. I like to play golf. I'm not very good, but I enjoy it. I've never hit a hole in one. That doesn't mean I can't do it. It just means I haven't done it. Gonzaga hasn't won a national title. It can win one. But to a larger conversation, there could be some possible benefits from going to a bigger league, and that's why they are considering it. And the biggest benefit, obviously, is incredible amounts of money.
Yes. Enormous amounts of money. And we'll close on this, Garen. I appreciate your time. If that league is not the Pac-12, George Kliavkov should turn in his key card.
I agree with you. Like, you know, I think sometimes conference commissioners who are really, you know, having their strings pulled by university presidents and chancellors, I think they get caught up often, and I say this as respectfully as I can say it, the men and women running universities are obviously smarter than, you know, some guy who's dumb enough to rank 26 basketball teams every morning. But I think sometimes they get so caught up on, you know, what is this school academically, and right. How does it rank in U.S. News and World Report? And I'm not pretending that doesn't matter, but I am insisting it doesn't matter much, if at all, when it comes to sports. If you are the Pac-12 and you just lost your biggest basketball brand, which is UCLA, and another good one in USC, right, then you should be trying to replace that with comparable programs. And the biggest thing out there is Gonzaga. It is in your geographic footprint. And the fact that the Big East and Big 12 are considering doing it should move them in a direction where they're absolutely willing to do it. And if I were the Pac-12, I would already be trying to hammer that out. Sweeten the pot however you got to sweeten it. And if I'm Gonzaga, if I am actually going to make this move, which I don't think is a no-brainer, leaving the WCC as much as some people think it is, I'm willing to discuss it, and I can see why you might do it. I just don't think it's absolutely no-brainer. But if you're going to leave the WCC for a power conference, if I'm Gonzaga, the one I want to do it for, it is the Pac-12.
No question about it. I'd love to see a Big East where Gonzaga and Georgetown are in the same division. Forget about conference, same division. Just Gonzaga and Georgetown battling it out for the Big East South or something like that. Gary Parrish, CBSSports.com, at Gary Parrish, CBS, Ion College Basketball Podcast. Thank you very much for your time, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Adam, always my pleasure. I'll see you, buddy.
You got it. That's Gary Parrish. All right, it's halftime. Let's do it.
And now, your halftime entertainment.
All right. About 3 on the clock there.
Not bad. 3 minutes of added time. That's exactly what Man U needed to scratch out a 2-1 win at Fulham.
I'm sure that's the case.
At Craven Cottage.
I'm sure that's the case.
Literally, the goal was scored like 10 seconds. They blew the whistle right after the kickoff, after the goal.
Oh.
It was silly.
Good for them. All right. Pair of Birkenstocks were auctioned off for over $200,000. You know why?
They belonged to Aaron Rodgers.
No, it actually belonged to Steve Jobs.
Interesting.
A pair of Birkenstock sandals, formerly owned by Steve Jobs, and included an NFT with it, auctioned for $218,750. I don't know why, but it did.
It had the smell of Steve Jobs' fallen arches.
Yes.
Beautiful.
If he had them. But yes, congratulations to the person that paid over $218,000 for Steve Jobs' sandals.
Old shoes.
Speaking of weird things that have happened, we have a new world record. That's right.
Guinness is back at it.
Guinness is back at it again. That's right. Another unusual Guinness World Record.
Oh, no way.
Yes, a bar in Wyoming hosted an unusual Guinness World Record attempt when a group of men clipped their beards together and created a 150-foot chain. So basically, just have long beards, you just clip them together to the person standing next to you.
Okay.
And you form this one long chain. Competitors in Casper, Wyoming for the National Beard and Mustache Championships. So mad I missed that. They gathered for an attempt at this world record, and they beat it. So congratulations to them. The beard chain was, again, measured at 150 feet, breaking the previous world record of 62 feet and 6 inches.
Oh, they shattered it.
They destroyed it, which was set in Germany back in 2007.
Cool. I would have thought it would have been set in, like, Norway.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe they've tried.
I think Norway would have, or Western or Eastern Russia, Siberia.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, as someone who has a beard myself, obviously not a very long one.
Yeah,
but
you could not tie your beard to another beard.
Well, no, like they could potentially clip that. If someone next to me had to have a really, really long beard, they could somewhat clip.
So we're just adding the width of your face on to the, like, you'd be useless.
That's a lot
of
inches.
You'd be useless in this.
What do you mean be useless?
No, I mean, look, you need a longer beard so you can stretch it out like 8-10 inches. Otherwise, like, people are basically just cheek to cheek.
I have seen, I'm actually looking at photos and seeing video of this right now. There's people that have beards that go down to like their belly buttons.
Yeah.
And they're part of this. I'm just very disappointed that I missed the National Beard and Mustache Championships.
I would be too. How come it wasn't on the Ocho?
Should have been.
So was Albus Dumbledore there? Should have a long beard.
Yeah. Poor Hagrid would have, RIP, but yeah. Poor Hagrid would have been perfect for this competition.
Dumbledore better than Hagrid, but Hagrid would have been useful.
But I mean, that's an extra useful 2 feet easily from those guys. Put them together.
And Hagrid's beard was that big.
Just saying. Just saying. Bummed I missed it. You know, I try and, you know, try and make it every year, but, you know, working in this industry, Canes hockey really took it away from me. That's really what happened to it. By the way, because I have to go into comic books and movies and stuff like that, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, domestically did $181 million in its opening weekend. Domestic.
Really?
Yes. So it's a very strong opening weekend. They were projecting pre-release anywhere between $170 to $205 million range, so they landed pretty much smack dab in the middle. So I guess you almost say a little higher than expected.
All right, good.
But yeah, shout out to Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I've seen it once. I'll probably go see it again.
You've already seen it.
Of course I've
seen
it.
You see movies before they come out.
I know. I try my best. No, because I don't want to. I want to avoid spoilers and all that crap. So I go see it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't spoil. I don't. I try not to spoil it
if
for other people.
If nobody's seen
it
yet,
it myself.
You can't. It can't be spoiled.
You'd
for
be
you.
Shocked. You'd okay. be shocked. ESPN's bringing back their This Is SportsCenter commercials, by the way.
Oh, excellent.
Did you know that?
I love those. Those are always good.
They were fantastic. Yeah. So they're actually going to be bringing them back. They should premiere probably during the college football playoffs, so early 2023.
Cool.
But one thing I really loved about the This Is SportsCenter commercials is that it really showed not only the personalities of the anchors, but also the athletes and other people around it as well.
I liked it more for the athletes than I did for the anchors. But the anchors were great.
Yeah, it was great. But it showed personality, which was always the fun part about them, and just the dumb skits that they would do. I remember going back and actually was watching some earlier today. Like there was like the Big Brother program, essentially, where they're playing basketball. Stuart Scott and Kenny Mayne were playing basketball with kids, and Stuart Scott's just like swatting, like, you know, kids trying to go for a layup. Like the kid's 8, and he's like flexing on them and like getting in their face and stuff. They're talking trash.
This is Jimmy Johnson taking a pick to the speed bumps in the parking lot.
Yes.
LeBron James.
Oh, this chair with Scott
with the
Van
chair,
Gelt.
Yeah. I mean, there's just great, great spots.
That remember the one that
Charlie
was
Charlie Steiner, Follow Me to Freedom?
Yes. Oh, that one was awesome. A great one. They did the Melrose Place with Charlie Steiner, too. Yeah, just it's a fun way to show personality. I think that's honestly what people really want. They want authenticity and have fun. And it's kind of cool that they're bringing that back. I'm curious to see what they do. Bad beat yesterday in the
Oh no.
Eagles Commanders game.
What was the bad beat?
So for anybody that
other
had
than Philly getting beat.
Well, there's that. But anyone that had a ticket for Devontae Smith over under receiving yards at 52.5, if he had the over, you really hated the last play. Because up until the very final play of the game, Philly's trying to lateral,
right,
ends up a fumble recovery for a touchdown for Washington, which made the final score what it was. But he had 53 yards receiving before the final play. Again, the over-under was set at 52.5.
Oh, no.
His final receiving yards because of that play, 39.
Really?
Yeah, so he went from so if you had the over, that final play hurt you. But if you had the under, congratulations. Well played by you.
For every bad beat, there's a surprising win.
Yeah.
For every bad beat, there's a surprising win.
But a lot of people were just like, oh, I had that. Like maybe in like on a parlay, like a same game parlay.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I can have Antonio Gibson scoring a touchdown, and I can have Devontae Smith over 52.5 yards plus whatever. Sure, I'll take that. So sorry for those people.
So I'm like I've become sort of a muse for somebody with soccer wagers.
Oh yeah.
So the reason I brought up Man U Fulham was one of the wagers was Man U Fulham draw.
Okay.
At plus whatever it was, and it was 1-1, with only 3 minutes of added time, and the goal was scored basically at 3 minutes of added time.
Yeah.
That's gambling.
That's how it is.
That's gambling, people.
That's just how it is.
Don't gamble what you can't afford to lose.
That's true. All right, NFL wants to expand its international tour.
Saw this.
Potentially stops in Spain and France.
I love it.
I think it's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. Whatever.
I'm assuming Paris will be the place to go, obviously.
Could go in. Yeah, sure. Why not?
But I'm curious, Spain, going to Barcelona, Madrid?
I would go to Pamplona.
Okay.
And have a run with the Bulls.
Oh, there you go.
Right before the game. Maybe you have the Bills in Pamplona.
Maybe. Maybe the Bills are the Bulls that are running.
And Josh Allen is running down the street.
Yeah.
Smashing people into Hamburger Hill.
That'd be great.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
I'm for it.
If I was the NFL. Yeah, Spain, France. I mean, the National Football League is very popular in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really popular in Germany. It's probably less popular in London, but there's so many Americans living everywhere.
Yeah, so
they're gonna seek it out. But like we love Premier League soccer here. They love the NFL.
Yeah.
Look, Major League Baseball took a Yankees Red Sox series to London.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people ate it up.
Here's the thing over there. It's an event.
Events.
It's an event.
Yep.
Much like the stadium series, it's an event.
You know what?
Show up for that.
You know what's coming to Frisco, Texas spring?
What's that?
Major League Cricket.
Yes.
Not kidding. Major League Cricket coming to Frisco, Texas.
Okay. I'm sure you have some over-unders on that.
Not yet. I will. I have to see the rosters. But that doesn't start till I believe, the spring.
All right. One more thing real fast.
Oh, wait. Yes.
Speaking of gambling, former L.A. Dodgers star Yasiel Puig pleading guilty to lying to federal agents about an illegal gambling operation. Looks like he's probably going to get 5 years in prison.
Ah.
The sentence carries up to 5 years in prison.
Okay, so hopefully I don't know what he did. So
he's still only 31.
Yeah, his...
He was a star that just fell off.
The start of his career was amazing.
Yeah.
And the NFL, Major League Baseball, didn't even put him on the ballot for that last man into the All-Star team because he was the biggest fascination in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't understand why. It didn't make a difference if he didn't have staying power. He was the biggest fascination in the entire league at that time. Should have given him the opportunity to showcase himself to more baseball fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he ultimately wasn't a good enough player. That's too bad. All right, we'll place some bets without going to prison, hopefully. Next.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th. happen to our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
Canes get a couple of days off. We don't have to see, we don't have to do a hockey game until Thursday when they host the Avalanche.
Yeah.
So you get 2 days off, Dennis. What are you going to do with 2 days off?
Sleep.
Nah.
Actually, I need to edit Culture State tonight.
There you go. You're not going to sleep.
No. That's the thing.
We got work to do.
Canes don't play. I work extra.
We got work to do. Coming up tonight, the college football playoff ranking. If I set the over-under on where North Carolina would be, and I said better or worse than 11.5, what would you say, Dennis?
Yes.
Oh, they can't be 11.5.
Okay. I'd say they're under that. So, I'd still say they're probably like 12.
Say worse. So
or worse, yeah.
Okay. I agree. I think they'll be somewhere between, I think 13 is a pretty good number for, they were 15 last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they won. They won a good game. They won a game against a team that used to be ranked but is no longer ranked.
Yeah.
Against Wake Forest. My interest is where North Carolina will be, where will Florida State be, where will Notre Dame be. Those are the teams that I'm interested in seeing where they land in the rankings. How far up does FSU and Notre Dame move with a couple more wins? So, because they directly impact both North Carolina and Clemson in terms of Notre Dame and Clemson in terms of Florida State. And I don't think either team is out of it, but meaning Clemson or North Carolina, but I think both teams need a lot of help. They need a lot of help. But again, tonight, it doesn't really count. Well, actually, it doesn't count. It's just a TV show. Let's place bets.
Now, it's time that's for the wrong a wrinkle.
Whoa. Two, what exactly happened?
That's the wrong one.
Place your bets.
It's right you next to, you know,
it's that one.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
I don't do this show often anymore, Adam. Sometimes things like that.
Understood.
Hit the wrong button.
It's understood. I will not hold it against you.
You should, actually. I should be docked one bet.
No, you have to make an extra one.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I can do that.
So you go first.
I'll go first.
You go first.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a little Maction tomorrow.
I love it.
Give me Ball State and Toledo. Parlay that both to win plus 185.
Ball State and Toledo tomorrow. Who do you have to win?
Ball State and Toledo win.
Oh, okay.
Parlay.
They're not playing each other.
No. Ohio plays Ball State.
Okay.
And Toledo plays someone else.
I was like, wait
else.
A second. He just picked a MAC game and he picked both teams to win. And I am so confused at this point. But now I understand. I understand what you did.
Yeah.
All right. Should I do a World Cup future?
I'm going to make one too. So, yes, go
all
for
right.
it.
Crazy. Group A winner.
Okay.
Senegal, plus 550.
Okay. I have no idea who else is in Group A.
I'll tell you right now who's in Group A. I'll tell you in a second who's in Group A. But they are the third choice. But I've got them winning Group A.
Okay.
Actually, no, I think they might be the second choice, but it's a crazy group. That's where Qatar is. Qatar is not winning the group.
No.
But because you're the host nation, you're in pot one, which means you're the... like where the best teams are.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a ultimately winnable group. Ecuador, I think, is in that group.
Okay.
I don't think Ecuador is that great.
Give me Germany to win the World Cup plus 1,000.
Ah, they're in a very interesting group. Actually, on the Canes Corner podcast yesterday, we talked about that. Japan and Spain are in that group. Japan is a very interesting counterattacking club.
Okay.
Team. So good, but way to go. Germany to win at plus what?
Plus 1,000.
Plus 1,000. That's good
value. I couldn't name you one German player, but I'm taking those odds.
Oh, okay. All right, give me in an FA Cup.
Okay.
Give me Woking at plus 330 over Oxford Hartlepool.
Sure.
I have no idea who Oxford Hartlepool is, but I am taking Woking at plus 300 at home.
By the way, Qatar plays Ecuador to kick things off.
Yes, they do. And that's coming up Sunday.
Senegal plays the Netherlands.
Yeah, right. The Netherlands are in their group. They're the favorite to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at their side. Not feeling the Netherlands.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you one player.
Not feeling the Netherlands. I think Senegal comes out of the group first place.
But I'm giving U.S. over the Wales at plus 165.
The Wales?
Yes.
Who's the Wales?
That's what I'm calling them, the Wales.
All right. There you go. Over the Wales.
Yep.
All right, we're going to do a parlay tonight. Give me Kansas and the over 145.5 or 145.
Okay.
At plus 290.
All right.
Kansas, not plus 1.5. Kansas to win. And over 145.
This is the Adam Gold Show.